Welcome to Global River Church's Teaching of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Give Him praise in the house this morning. We serve a mighty God. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I Am, the King of the universe. Stand to your feet and give Him praise. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God! Hallelujah! I love Him, love Him, love Him, love Him! Woo! High five your neighbor and say, get ready for the Word of God. Turn around, high five the person behind you. Say, get ready for the Word of God. Woo! Hallelujah. He's such a good God. Such a good God. Woo! Say it again. That's right. He is such a good God. And I don't know what you came for this morning, but I serve a God and you serve a God that'll meet every need that you have in the house today. It's so amazing going in those prisons. We've been in New York City to MDC, Brooklyn. That's the big federal prison that holds terrorists and sex traffickers from all over the world. And for the first time ever, and I did not know this when we went there in July of last year, but I remember the warfare when we pulled up to this huge prison in New York City in Brooklyn. And I remember Pastor Tom feeling warfare, and we went to one of the big gates and they sent us to another gate, and it was 112 degrees in New York City that day. And that was a big prison. So we went to the other side and said, they sent us on this side and we're checking in to do a service for your female inmates here. And they said, no, you're at the wrong place. Go back to where you came from. And it hit me, we're battling. This is warfare. This is warfare. And Rebecca's like, she looked at me and she was like, Mom, are you okay? I said, I'm better than okay. Little did I know, when we got in there and we got in the service, that was the first Christian service the females had ever had in that prison. That's why the enemy was pushing back and pushing back and pushing back. And the chaplains told us on the way out. They didn't tell us on the way in. Because going through that big prison, through the back way so we wouldn't run into male inmates, and just, I'm usually not very comfortable in tiny little spaces. And I remember I was so excited going through there and there and there and just one tunnel and the next tunnel and the next tunnel. And I was so excited about what God was going to do. And He showed up in a way I cannot even explain in New York City, in Brooklyn, New York. And women from all over the country, the world, were there from China. They were there from South America. They were there from Colombia. And these women surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. And then as the chaplain was walking us out, he said, we didn't think you were going to get in here. They were trying to stop this the whole time. And we had been approved and gone through Washington, D.C., being it was a federal prison. But see, the enemy loves to try to stop the people of God. But you cannot stop. You cannot stop no matter what. I remember Pastor Annie George, and probably one of the first times I'd ever heard Pastor Tom preach, he was showed up in her church. I hadn't been a Christian long at all. And we all just knew on Thursday night there was this woman that was so powerful. And I heard Pastor, she said, you got the word tonight. I mean, you would have no idea, but when Pastor Annie said you got the word, you'd get your Bible and you had the word that night. And I remember she said that people would come up to her and say, I'm walking through hell this week. And she said, keep on walking, baby. keep on walking. Don't stop. Keep on walking. Look at your neighbor, say, keep on walking. Pastor Tom, Dave and David and Rebecca and all of us are so happy for your miracle. You are a miracle. And the enemy messed with the wrong one. Because what I felt when you stood up here today, such an anointing, and you're already very anointed. I cannot wait till you share the revelation of what God showed you when the enemy tried to kill you. What a testimony in your church, your sheep opening the church and praying all night long. And those of us that were called by text, I remember I woke Dave up late at night when I got the text, and I was like, you've got to pray. Pastor Tom is in the ER, and the enemy's trying to snuff him out. Come in agreement. He sat up quickly. My husband had sat up that quick in the middle of the night. And he started praying, God, touch Pastor Tom. Heal Pastor Tom. Let him come out of that hospital whole in the name of Jesus Christ. And he is sitting here today whole because of the prayers of the righteous. The body of Christ coming together, decreeing and declaring that the enemy would not take our leader and the general in this city and this region. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Woo, glory, glory, glory. It is mighty good to be in the house of God today. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God where you feel His glory, where you feel His presence, where you get hope when there was no hope, when you get healing, when you feel bad, when you learn who you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo, thank you, God. You get zapped up here. Hallelujah. Thank you for all the ministers here today. We want to honor you. Stand to your feet if you're a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to honor you. We want to honor you. We want to honor you. We thank God for you today. Keep going, keep going, keep going. I want to do something that I've never done to my knowledge before I preached. But the Bible says that a merry heart does good like a medicine. And it was so funny, we were driving here and I said, Dave, God told me to tell a joke. And he was like, what? And I said, I know. And I said, let me read it to you. And I said, it's because, I guess because you're in prison ministry. I'm in prison ministry and you hear so much turmoil. You hear there's people are hurting so bad behind bars, but people are hurting out here at a level like I've never seen. The busy devil is trying, but he will not win. So I just want to make you laugh before we get into the word this morning. Listen to this story about Billy Graham. Before he died, Billy Graham was returning to Charlotte after a speaking engagement. And when his plane arrived, there was a limousine waiting to transport him to his home. And as he prepared to get into the limo, he stopped and he spoke to the driver. You know, he said, I'm 87 years old, and I have never driven a limousine. Would you mind if I just get in the seat and just drive it a little while? So, of course, the driver says, absolutely, here you go, Reverend Graham. He gets in the driver's seat, and they head off down the highway. And he was only speeding a little bit. He was not going that fast. And a short distance from where he was took off from, there was a rookie state trooper operating his first speed trap. The long black limo went by him doing a little bit higher than the normal speed. The trooper pulled out and easily caught the limo, got out of his patrol car to begin the procedure. The young trooper walked up to the driver's door, and when the glass was rolled down, he was surprised to see who was driving that black limo. He immediately excused himself, went back to his car, and called his supervisor. He told the supervisor, "I know we are supposed to enforce the law, but I also know that important people are given certain courtesies. I need to know what I should do because I have stopped a very important person." The supervisor asked, "Is it the governor?" The young trooper said, "No, he's much more important than the governor." The supervisor said, "Oh, so it's the president of the United States." The young trooper said, "He is much more important than the president of the United States." The supervisor, stunned, he finally asked, "Well, then who is it?" He said, "I think it's Jesus because he's got Billy Graham as his chauffeur today." How wonderful for people to think that you're worthy to drive Jesus around. But you know, the Bible is clear. And in Isaiah 41:8, it says that we are a friend of God. We are a friend of God. And when you have an issue, go to your friend. Tell it to your friend, because he can do anything. Amen. The message the Lord has sent me with today, I think, is very applicable to all of our lives. The title of the message is Navigating Life's Storms. Navigating Life's Storms. Who's been through a storm recently? I'm preaching to the right congregation. Today is actually my first day preaching in 2026 because I was diagnosed with bacterial pneumonia right after Christmas. And it broke my heart in ways I cannot explain that I had to cancel a prison engagement. But praise God, we got that engagement back, and the enemy's going to pay for making me not go to that prison. But I rejoice I am healed and whole, energized, and excited to be in a pulpit. Can I get a witness here today? Navigating life storms. According to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, it's the one I use because he gets all of his definitions from the Bible. The definition of navigate is to steer, to direct, to manage. Storms, we're well aware of storms here in Wilmington, North Carolina. We're used to praying hurricanes off of our coast in the name of Jesus Christ. However, Noah Webster went deeper than the weather. He called, according to his definition, storms are afflictions, an assault, adversity, distress. What are the storms that hit Christians' lives? See, I know God had me preach this because there is a mentality out there in Christianity that says once you become a Christian, then you're never going to face anything. I need the church prepared that when you become a Christian, you are going to face things, but you're not going to face things by yourself anymore. You're going to have the great I am walking through the fire with you as a Christian. What are storms that hit our lives? Storms of physical attacks trying to take our lives out, health issues, financial troubles, job loss, divorce, death of a loved one, betrayal, abuse, children in rebellion. There are many scriptures that remind us as Christians that we are at war with Satan, just like this dance showed this morning. But you saw the victory when you picked up the sword and you understood who you are. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, do not be surprised by the fiery trial that has come upon you to test you as something strange." My father, Reverend Roy Balon, used to tell me all the time if I dared go to him to complain about anything I was going through. He would say, as the half-brother of Jesus Christ said in James, the first chapter and the second verse, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Peter and John remind us that trials will come. But you have the Holy Spirit within you. You are a Luke 10:19 person that says you have been given authority over everything that would dare try to come against you and your family. That you have the resurrection power of Jesus Christ within you. So when the enemy attacks, what we do is quote the word. When the enemy attacks, what we do is praise our God. When the enemy attacks, we may put the plate away and fast. When the enemy attacks, we are going to stand on the promises of God and remember where he brought you from, hell itself. Therefore, you will not leave this earth until it is time for you to leave this earth. When storms hit, we don't back down, we don't back up, we don't bow our head and cry and have a nervous breakdown. But when storms hit the people of God, we stand strong and take the blood of Jesus and say, "Satan, the Lord rebuke you. You won't take my family out. You won't destroy my ministry. You won't kill my children. You won't destroy my marriage. Every addiction broken off of my family in the name of Jesus Christ." You have power through the name of Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, "You've got power through Jesus." Stand to your feet and let us honor the reading of God's word. You will never see anything more powerful, read anything more powerful, hear anything more powerful than the word of God. Open your Bibles to Acts, the 28th chapter, and we'll begin reading in, 27th chapter. I will be reading verse 41. Acts 27, 41, and I will read through Acts 28, 5. It's so powerful to hear the word of God. That built your faith up so strong when Pastor was reading those healing scriptures. Your spirit gets excited. "But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded those that could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship, and so it was that they all escaped safely to land. Now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, 'No doubt this man is a murderer with whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live.'" Bow your heads for prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this sacred gathering. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that is here because your people are here. Thank you for the anointing that rests upon the shepherd here. The leaders here. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Tom's miracle that will increase tremendously the healing anointing upon his life. I've heard so strongly today. Thank you, Lord, for everyone under the sound of my voice. You know what storm they're in or the storm they're coming out of. You know what they have need today, Lord. I ask that you anoint my vocal cords, strengthen my body, God. Let me only say what you would have me to say today. I honor you, God, that people will be born again here. People will be healed and delivered here. They already have been. I thank you that the body will rise up at a level that we've all waited to rise up to. And I thank you that 2026 will be a year of harvest and abundance like we have never seen in the name of Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The context of our reading today, this was written by Luke, the great historian. And he wrote the book of Acts and he wrote the book of Luke. And I loved how he addressed his readers of those two books. He called him a name, Theophilus. And theologians have battled, was he addressing a friend? But they said, no, he was not addressing a friend, beloved Theophilus, because Theophilus means lover of God. And I know standing at Global River Church today, I am standing before people that love God Almighty and His Word. Luke was a Gentile physician, and he was the traveling companion of Paul on all of his missionary journeys. And Paul, we know, had a radical conversion. You can read that in Acts chapter 9. And he used to be the worst persecutor of the church of Christ. He held the coats when they stoned Stephen and was saying, I endorse what you're doing. He was headed to Jerusalem and got permission to go and arrest anyone that believed in Jesus Christ as the Messiah of the world when he was converted. He was someone that was terrifying to even be in the presence of until he met Jesus. That's why I say to people all the time, don't you give up on people. Their conversion could be tomorrow. I have seen women in prison that have done horrific crimes, and they are like sweet little kittens once God touches them and they are full of the Holy Spirit and love God. Do not be moved by what you see somebody doing. Move heaven by your prayers that they can get to know Jesus Christ, because nobody is unapproachable to our God. And I was thinking this morning about women, especially because I am a mother. And I remember when it looked like mine weren't going to serve God. And as a mother, when you carry that, there is nothing like that. But I remind every one of you under the sound of my voice that have children that are not serving God, there is nothing impossible for our God. And God can set up a situation and they can have an encounter with God and become one of the Jesus freaks like we all are here today. Never give up on your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, because nobody can outrun a mama and a daddy's prayers. Here was Paul, and he had been arrested by the Jewish leaders at the highest levels because he was going into synagogues and preaching that Jesus was the Messiah, and he had risen from the dead. And they were so upset about that. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Jerusalem tried to make sure he was arrested. And they had him arrested. He was waiting trial. And it was found out that they were going to kill him. So the Apostle Paul was a Roman citizen. And he appealed to Caesar. The next thing you know, the governor of Judea has commanded Paul to be taken to Rome to present his case to the great Supreme Court as a prisoner. And they were sailing from Caesarea, and they encountered a horrible storm. And 276 passengers, many of them prisoners, end up with a destroyed ship, and they land in the southern Mediterranean on an island called Malta. My first point that I want to drive home to you this morning under the anointing is we must realize no matter what storm we are facing, that God is still in control. Within Acts 27, we read of that horrible storm, and it was called a Euroclydon. And this was a very, very dangerous storm that came up in the Adriatic Sea and had killed countless sailors, destroyed vessels just like this Alexandrian grain ship. And when a Euroclydon hits, it means that most likely you are going to go into that ocean to your grave. The crew had lost all control of this ship. 14 days they had been in total darkness because the Euroclydon was in control. And this huge ship was being tossed back and forth. And it looked like that there was no hope in this situation. But there was one passenger on this ship, and his name was Paul. He was an apostle of the Most High God. He had suffered for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten 39 stripes. He was tried to be killed many, many times. And he was on this ship. And see, he understood the great I am in his life. While everybody was acting scared, Paul was talking to his God. When everybody was acting like they weren't going to make it, the apostle Paul was remembering Psalm 50 verse 10 that says, "My God owns all the cattle on a thousand hills." He was thinking about Isaiah 40, 15, which says that God Almighty can take all the water on planet Earth and scoop it up in the hollow of his hand, that he serves a God that can control a storm. And if it was being allowed to happen, then God was up to something good. He wasn't worried. What do we do? We need to remind ourselves that just like our God said, if you can stop the sun from coming up every day, then you can stop my covenant with my people. And I was up at 4:45 this morning, and I got to see that sun come up. Therefore, we are under covenant. And the sun will not stop coming up and the moon shining. We must understand in the midst of a storm that our God is in control. And one has to note in this situation, and you can read all through Acts 27 and 28 when you get home, that the Apostle Paul had told the centurion, the Roman centurion, that was over this entire vessel, but he was a personal escort to Paul. Paul said, "Do not take this ship out of this harbor, because a storm is going to come. And it's really bad." But see, they didn't listen to Paul. The owner of the ship and the captain of the ship thought they knew more. But when they got out there, probably into the first or second day when that Euroclydon hit, believe me, they would have loved to have listened to that prisoner that was being taken to Rome to the Supreme Court of the land. But notice something I need you to notice as the people of God. That this storm was not because of Paul. He was just on the ship. He didn't cause this storm. And many times people will try to figure out a way to blame you if you're in the middle of a storm. Can I get a witness? I remember when I had cancer the first time. Then came back the second time and I'm cancer free. To God be the glory. But I had somebody real religious come by my house. And I'm sure I may have told this story before because I still can't get over this story. And she sat on my living room couch. I had just heard I was diagnosed with cancer. And I was praising God because I said, "I don't know what you're going to do with this. But I know you a healer, and you told me I had cancer, not those all that equipment they had. We proved that you are the one that knows things, Lord." And she sat there and she said, "I've come to ask you." I should have known I was in trouble. She came with a friend I thought knew better. And she said, I just need to ask you, what have you done to cause God to put cancer on you? I looked at her like she had three eyes up in her head. And I said, what did you just say? She said, what have you, you need to repent. You need to repent because God's put this on you because somehow you're in sin. I mean, I couldn't believe what she was saying, and it took me a little while to, like, is this really happening in my house? And she was like, why did he put it on you? Have you dishonored your parents? Are you, when the Sabbath hits, she said, when the Sabbath comes, I'm in my pajamas all day, and I don't do anything because I honor my God. And when she said that, I said, let me tell you something. When the Sabbath hits, I'm working in prisons and winning souls, and I can assure you my God is not upset with me. And then she said, well, then why do you have it? And it rose up in my spirit. I said, the reason this sickness has come upon me is for the glory of God, which means God's going to heal me, and it's not about anything I've done. So here was Paul in the midst of a storm he didn't cause. Don't try to figure out why your brother or sister in Christ is in the middle of a storm. You just come in agreement with them, they'll get to the other side of that storm. Paul was in the storm because Paul's witness was going to save lives. You are in a storm because those around you need the anointing that you operate under. Those around you need the power of God within you. That ER needed a man of God to come up in there because just his presence brought healing to people that night in New Hanover County Regional Hospital in Novant. And just the presence of pastor and people praying for him, I can assure you people didn't die that night the way the enemy wanted to kill them because Paul was in the hospital. God will answer you in your storms. He answered Paul. He gave him strategies in that storm, but he did not cause that storm. And I can imagine they quit eating a few days after that storm was moving. They were so, everybody, the Bible says, and theologians say people were getting sick. Even the captain of the ship, nobody had control of that vessel anymore. And I can imagine when Paul said to the centurion, let me address the people. And he said, address them, because the Bible says he got to talk to them. And he stood on that ship in the middle of a storm, and he said, the God that I serve sent an angel to talk to me last night. And he told me that none of us are going to die on this ship. And he also said, we are going to run aground on an island, and the ship is going to be destroyed, but there will be no loss of life. He said, now you can eat again because God's taken over this ship from this moment on. Can you imagine how they listened then, Pastor? Can you imagine how they wanted to hear the word of God come out of this man's mouth that said, don't take this ship out. There's going to be a storm. Many times when storms hit our lives and our family, you may find yourself in the middle of the storm with them so that they can see the power of God. You must understand that the Apostle Paul was such a leader in the midst of that storm. He stood in the midst of a storm and everybody got calmed down because a man of God spoke. See, it can be rocking and rolling and everything can be falling apart, but when a woman or a man of God stands up and says, I've got to share what thus says the Lord, then people will start listening. Believe me, as the last days approach us more and more, things are going to get more and more out of control. But you let a woman or a man of God show up in the name of Jesus Christ. Just like the opioid epidemic and the heroin epidemic and the meth epidemic that's hit in our very city. In the middle of all that, Megan can stand up and she can say, I'm going to tell you, y'all don't need to be worried because I called on the name of Jesus and he sent me free. I am free today. I went from somebody without hope to graduating from college, and I am now a North Carolina substance abuse counselor in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, don't be moved by what you feel. My God is bigger than heroin, meth. My God is bigger than a childhood of abuse. My God can do anything. In the midst of turmoil, when a woman of God shows up, everything changes. When a man of God is rolled in, it may look like he's going through, but they rolling in a man of God in the midst of people dying, and you can believe the anointing hit Novon at a level like there's never been. The Apostle Paul, whenever the Roman soldiers got together and they said, we need to kill these prisoners. Because you must understand, Roman guards, if they lost a prisoner, they immediately cut their heads off. There wasn't no judge saying, let's look at this situation. It was, you've lost a prisoner, you're dying now. So they didn't want these prisoners to escape. But see, there was a prisoner named Paul. And the leader of that Roman, of that Alexandrian ship, was under the control of Julius, who had gained honor and respect. And he told them all, we aren't killing any prisoners on this ship. No prisoner's going to be killed, because the Apostle Paul was a prisoner and he was not going to allow anybody to be killed because he was on that ship. Whose very life have you stood in the gap for? And you've told the enemy, take your hands off. As the people of God, we need to get bold. We need to walk through the streets of Wilmington. You don't have to be loud, just walk. And whisper, I bind the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ from my city. I live in Mayfair. And we had something happen there recently. And so I got on my balcony. And I said, I decree and declare under the anointing of the living God, no violence shall come to Mayfair because I live in Mayfair. And I bind the enemy and drugs coming. I bind in the name of Jesus Christ every plot and plan of the enemy. You shall not come to Mayfair Town View. I live on the top floor. And I decree, this is a place of peace. This is a place of rest. And a woman and a man of God own here in the name of Jesus Christ. You have power. You have power. You don't have to be loud. You can whisper it. You ever see me walking around Mayfair with my little French bulldog named Mr. Cheese in a stroller? Go on and say it. I bet she's on another prayer walk. Nobody knows. I'm undercover. Can I get a witness here? You don't have to know. Nobody has to know, but he knows in the name of Jesus Christ. We are the people of God and we have power. And just because you're there, lives are being saved. Just because you're there, God will save many. Your children will be saved. You may say, but my child didn't make it. You don't know what your child said a second before they left this earth. That's your seed. Psalm 112, verse 2. That's your seed. You have authority. And there we have Paul. Saved 275 lives, and hundreds of them could have been prisoners. We don't know the exact number of prisoners. But you can look over your very life. And you can see the time that storms hit that tried to destroy your children. And you stood and you walked and you decreed and you declared. When the enemy tried to come in and snatch your marriage. Women of God, don't you let no devil from hell take your husband. Can I get a witness here? Let me go on off to the side here a little while. I said Big Daddy Dave Costell is Jennifer Renee Costell's. And no devil from hell is going to mess with my man, because if they do, they're going to pay for it, because I'm going to pray them into being born again, and I'm going to bind the enemy in the name of Jesus. Come on now, women, you know how we are about our men. Can I get a witness here? I'm the only woman that feels like that. And then we on steroids when somebody tries to mess with our children. Can I get a witness here? Southern women go crazy in the spirit realm in a powerful way, praying about our children. Come on now. Telling the enemy, oh, I don't think so. That's my seed. That is not happening in the name of Jesus. The Bible is clear that all the passengers indeed made it safely to an island called Malta. As we read, it was very cold, it was raining, and the natives of the island, Luke wrote, showed us unusual kindness. They put a big fire there because they were swimming out of the ocean. Those natives saw that big ship destroyed and all of these hundreds of people coming to the island needing warmth. And there was Paul. See, you must understand, Paul had lost everything by then. If he did have anything, it was floating in that ocean. But the apostle Paul understood it is God that supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And there we have Paul. He was helping get the wood and putting it on the fire. All he had been through, an apostle that had raised the dead. An apostle that the church of that time had supported him. He was well respected. He was powerful. He was anointed. But yet this great man of God was busy getting wood and putting it on a fire. Do you see the humility? Do you see the humility that he had? He didn't have to have somebody carry the stuff for him. He wasn't a celebrity preacher. He was somebody that served God. And then I was thinking about Pastor Tom. What a servant of the Most High God that is so humble and loving and kind and will do anything for anybody. That is why he is so anointed. You want more of God? Understand you are a servant of God. People say some crazy stuff. Well, Jennifer, that's good you're going in prisons, but you know a lot more people need you out here than they need you there. So are you sure you heard from God? I said, I am absolutely sure. I had an open vision from God. And I'm going to obey God no matter what. I know that's not celebrity preaching, which I would never do in the name of Jesus Christ, but I'm going to obey God. I am going to be humble. And if God tells me to wash their feet, I'm going to wash their feet, because we are a servant of the Most High God. That is why Pastor Tom is here today, why he is so anointed, because he is a humble servant of God. Look at your neighbor, say, you want more of God? Get more humility. Pastor Willie, so humble. So humble. So loyal to his leader. So honoring of Pastor Tom. It's beautiful. And there Paul was helping putting sticks on the pile for the fire to keep the fire going. And a venomous viper came out and hung on his hand. Now, you know that's not normal for a snake. Snakes bite and they pull back. It says it was hanging off his hand. It was pumping venom continuously, pump, 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 pump. And Paul wasn't even moved by it. Can I get a witness here? He looked down. There was a viper. Shook it off. See, he wasn't moved by it. He had a word from God that he was going to see Caesar. He wasn't moved by it. He had seen God move too many times. He wasn't moved by it because he knew the power of God within his body. And they were waiting for him to swell up and die. And he kept on working. He kept on picking up sticks. He kept on hearing from God what to do. Listen closely. I know that was a serious attack on his life. Hundreds of people putting wood on a fire and the snake bites him. And then I know it's very demonic and satanic because of what the natives said. They said, this man is a murderer. Paul was a murderer. And he didn't die at sea. So now justice is going to be served. See, only Satan brings up your past. Satan is an accuser of the brethren. And when you're in the middle of a storm and you're getting this barrage of your past and your mess ups and condemning you, that is from the devil. He's trying to stop you from getting to the next level to walk in the victory that you're called to walk in. Paul didn't even entertain them. He kept on walking. He kept on working. And they're all bug-eyed waiting for him to swell up and die. I bet some people waiting for you to swell up and die in the spirit. That they know you going through a storm and here you've gotten over here with these radical Jesus people and they just waiting for you to crash. You're not going to crash. You're going to prosper in the midst of it. You're going to keep looking better, acting better. Your bank account's going to get bigger in the midst of much adversity. Amen. See, God's got you. Keep walking. Keep decreeing. Keep declaring. Don't let the enemy stop you in the middle of your storm by bringing up your past that's under the blood of Jesus Christ. See, that's why women in prison, you've never seen a baptism service till you've seen a baptism service in prison. The first time I went to a baptism service, and by the way, they have to go through 12 weeks of classes to get baptized. They need to understand what they're doing. They need to understand the love of God and what it means to be a Christian. It's not legalistic, it's liberating. They need to understand to get that flesh under control, Mother Addie. When these women are getting baptized, the first baptism service I ever went to had like 40 women. And as the women were standing to get baptized, women were standing in their chairs shouting and praising God because a sister was getting baptized and they knew she was now a Christian. She was a Christian before she was baptized, but there's something about making it public. And in a prison, when you make it public, those women will watch you like a hawk because they've seen so much hypocrisy in the church. If you're going to call yourself a Christian in prison, you better be a Christian. And they get on there, they stand on their chairs and they're hollering, "Woo!" I mean, I was like looking around like, oh my goodness, this is the best thing I've ever heard in my life. And the first time I went to a baptism about 15 or 17 years ago, it was a Methodist chaplain, and she called me in her office afterwards, and she said, "I'm glad you're here today." She said, you're Pentecostal, right? And I said, "I'm Pentecostal, but y'all came unglued up in there. Can I get a witness?" She said, "I know they're excited." She said, "But they come out of that water speaking languages I've never heard of." Hey. She said, "Is that what called speaking in tongues is?" I said, "That's what it is, chaplain." She said, I've never seen anything like it. I knew those women had not taken any language classes while they've been here at this prison. I knew they weren't bilingual, but they're coming up out of the water just praising God in another language. She said, I got to rethink a lot of stuff from this moment on because I know them women that were speaking that language. But yet, God loves to bless those you would never think that He would bless. Paul did not stop. He kept going. He kept walking. Because remember, it was Paul that wrote Colossians 2:15, Amplified Version. Jesus disarmed the rulers and the authorities, the supernatural forces of evil operating against us. No weapon formed against you will ever prosper. It may hit, it may hurt, but it will not take you out because the enemy has been disarmed. My final point today is when storms hit our lives, what should have killed you will actually promote you. What should have taken you out will propel you into a destiny where people will sit up and listen because what you've been through, they're going through, and you represent hope to them. The chaplains always are amazed because the women come to the meetings when I come to the prisons, and it's not about me. I remember when God said, I'm going to use you as bait in that prison. Because over 90% of women inmates have been sexually abused. They've been in the foster care system. They have had horrific childhoods. And when you have somebody coming up in there, and I don't even preach in the churches like I do in a prison because my audience is pulling at me at a level. I mean, it's real close at Global, though. I can tell you that I'm sweating under this suit. Can I get a witness here? But when they hear, Jesus can heal your mind. Jesus can set you free from drugs and alcohol. Jesus can do what He said He can do, and you don't have to beg Him for it. You just have to ask Him for it. You don't have to lay out and be this, 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 and this. You just say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Heal my life. Set me free. And I've seen thousands of women inmates come to Jesus Christ because I've walked their walk. It's all about the Lord. It's not about me. I couldn't heal myself. It's all about Jesus. Megan's healed because it's all about Jesus. You got your mind because it's all about Jesus. Your marriage made it because it's all about Jesus. You didn't lose your mind because it's all about Jesus. Your children are going to come into the kingdom because it's all about Jesus. You're going to be able to pay your bills because it's all about Jesus. Whenever it got around the island that there was a man that was bit by the venomous viper, and he's walking around and talking and not even affected. The governor on the island, the Roman governor on the island, Governor Publius, that's a name, can I get a witness, wanted to meet with Paul. He wanted to meet the man that made it past the snake bite, that had taken out everybody else it had ever bit. And I bet when they told him, it didn't just strike him, it hung on his hand. It wouldn't let go. He had to shake the viper off of him. So he called him to his colossal estate. I love the word colossal. It just means huge. And he entertained everybody on the ship for 3 days. That's how big it was. And when he got there, his father was very, very sick. Publius's father, governor, I'm going to just say DeGov. DeGov's father was very, very sick. He had fevers and he had dysentery. The fevers people got in Malta, sometimes the goat's milk had bacteria in it. And they could have fevers, very high fevers, for up to 2 years. And he had dysentery, which is a horrible infection in the intestines caused by parasites. And it's very, very, very dangerous because of dehydration. The governor's dad had both of these. So Paul, being the apostle he was, went into his bedroom, laid hands on him, and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, you are healed." And his father sat up, was completely healed, and everybody heard there had been a healing, and this man was very sick. So what did the governor do? He decided over the next 3 months, as they waited for another Alexandrian ship to take them to Rome, for 3 months, the Apostle Paul had healing crusades on the island of Malta. And the Bible says that everybody on the island was healed. Everybody on the island. If the storm had not hit, and the ship was not wrecked, and they ended up in Malta, all those souls on that island, which was a large island, would not have been healed and delivered. If the snake had not bit, and another storm after that storm with the Apostle Paul, and he stood on the Word of God and kept working in the midst of an attack that should have killed him, then all that was happened on the island would not have happened. Do not fear the storm. Just say in the middle of the storm, get you some praise music on and dance your way around your house and say, "God, if you've allowed this, I know I'm going to be all right, but who are you going to touch through this?" Four amazing things that I found out about the island of Malta in my research. To this day, 90% of that island is Christian. And it started with a shipwreck and a snake bite. There's a huge church in Malta named St. Paul's Cathedral. There's a museum there that has four anchors in it that came off of an Alexandrian grain ship they found in the ocean not far off the island. You can read in your word that they dropped four anchors into that ocean. That is in the museum. Then the one that about makes me kick my shoes off today and praise my God. And I have verified this by someone that's been to Malta on a honeymoon. The Bible says, let me get my shoes off right now. The Bible says that he flung that snake back in that fire. Let me tell you, ever since the Apostle Paul did that, they do not have poisonous snakes on the island of Malta. They may have snakes, and this couple said, we were looking for them because they're Christians, they had red acts, and they said, we never even saw a snake, but we did ask, and there's not poisonous snakes on Malta. The storm that you are going through, woo, thank you, God. The storm that you are going through could be to make sure the spirits that have attacked your family will not attack them anymore because you're standing against them. Every generational curse of addiction, every generational curse of cancer, every generational curse that's supposed to kill somebody. As a person of God, when you stand and say, enough is enough, then the spirits have to back off. But you got to keep walking. You got to keep ministering. You've got to keep believing. Those of us that are ministers, I say that too. Because it seems like we get a lot of attacks. But I am telling you, you are stopping the enemy from destruction in your family line. If you understand, in the middle of a storm, it could be for benefit of everyone around you. We're not to invite storms. I would never invite sickness. But yet, we're on an earth that has sickness. So when it hits Christians, then we're not going to back down. We're going to say the word of God and believe the word of God like never before. Back to that lady that showed up to my house. When she left my house and I told her it was for the glory of God. And by the way, I saw her a few years ago and she ran up to me. I thought, oh no, I'll be honest. I was like, oh, I'll never forget you as long as I live. I don't know your name, but I'll never forget you. And the Holy Spirit said, stay still and be very loving, which I am. I know better. Can I get a witness? And she said, I have been looking for you. I'm thinking, you know where I live, but she's probably scared to come back. But she said, and I apologize. I was so out of line by what I said to you.
Wow.
And I grabbed her. I said, I forgave you the day you left. And I meant that. But the day she left, I ran and got Xerox paper and a Sharpie black marker. And I taped to my front door. Only words of faith can come into this house. Jesus took cancer on the cross. Therefore, I am healed. Then I ran to the back door. And I put the same thing. People would come and see me and they said, Jennifer, I promise you, we are only going to speak words of faith. You got to draw the line in the sand. And you got to say, I'm a person that believes the Bible. And I don't want to hear stuff like that around me. When I can assure you, Pastor Tom and those gatekeepers named Sarah and your other daughter and grandchild said, don't let anybody around him that speaks anything but faith. Because you're fighting for your life and you need the word of God. What an example of how to stand in the midst of a trial. Paul, not only did he have healing crusades, but the Bible said that the governor made sure that everything Paul needed was given to him. And they took up offerings for him at every crusade. And when the ship rolled in, the governor even went way above to bless him. A Roman governor, he was under Roman guard, arrested. And you can look it up in Acts 28, verse 30. And it says that when Paul got to Rome, that he was able to rent a large home, large enough for the Jewish people and the leaders in Rome to come into his living room. For 2 years, he was able to rent a house. Where did that money come from? There wasn't no prison ministries. The money came from the healing crusades. The money came from a Roman governor that saw the anointing on his life. Do not fret and do not fear when you're in a storm, because God has the last word. Be encouraged in Romans 8:31. That says, if God be for you, then who can be against you? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want every eye closed and every head bowed. And if you are here today and you are not sure that you are born again, I would be amiss to tell you that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And you don't want anybody going to hell. It's real. Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. And you got to be sure that if you left this earth today, that you would in fact be in the presence of God Almighty. You heard the stats that Pastor gave us. Cancer is rampant right now. And I've seen some very dear friends leave this earth early. But I know where they went. They went to heaven. But right now, maybe you need to rededicate your life to Christ. Maybe you are saying, wow, that was a great sermon, but she went hard at the end right there. Heaven or hell? Everybody's going to die. And you need to make sure where you're going to go. So it's between you and God and me and you. I will be your witness. If you are not sure or you know you've gotten off the path and that if tonight you drew your last breath, you would not make it to heaven. If you're not for sure, let's get this thing right. In prison, when I present the gospel, they run to the front. I have to get my mind reprogrammed for churches because you hear the gospel all the time. If you're not sure you're a Christian, I need you to put your hand up right now. If you want to rededicate your life, if you want to get this thing right, then every eye closed, this is between you and God. Would you go to heaven, or is there a doubt? Thank you. I see that hand. You can put it down. Anyone else? We're getting this thing right. We're getting it right. And once you're born again, you're born again. And you will feel the Spirit wooing you and cleaning your life up. Anyone else that you need to make it right today? Anyone else? Or you want to rededicate your life because you know you haven't been living the way you should? Well, I need everybody to rejoice because we've got one person born again here today. And the angels are saying your name. And that your name is in the book of life. Hallelujah. If you will stand to your feet, I would love to pray over you corporately. I know I've gone a little over. But it's all right. Can I get a witness? It's all right. So if you're going through a storm or you just need some encouragement, put your hand up right now. Hallelujah. It's all over. Our hands are going up everywhere. And just receive this prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to strengthen your people. You know every need. If it's a physical storm with their body, God, I apply the blood of Christ to them. And every spirit of affliction, every physical disease, I stand against in the name of Jesus Christ with the word of God. I ask, God, that you strengthen your people. Psalm 92:10 right now that says they have been anointed with fresh oil, that they are refreshed. They are energized to fight the fight. They are learning how to rest in you even in the middle of a storm. Any children or grandchildren here today represented by their family that need Christ, I set myself in agreement in the name of Jesus Christ for salvation to hit every house represented today with unsaved family members. I ask God that you bless your people as never before. I ask God that you encourage them. Those that need jobs, I ask for good jobs. Those that need promotion, I speak in the name of Jesus Christ, promotion. Those that are battling depression and anxiety as one that has walked there, I bind the enemy in every lie and loose the power of the Holy Spirit upon your people today. I speak number 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and your family. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and your family and give you his peace. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Look at your neighbor. Say, I believe and receive that sermon.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are. Join our family at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.